Coming up on the show, we have our latest news and discussion segment. This and more on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Traveling with the Mouse. I am your host, John Martin, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Adam Brown.
That's me.
It is Thursday, October the 4th, and this is episode 149 of Traveling with the Mouse. And as I just mentioned, we are going to be doing a news and discussion because, well, there's news stories, and then we're going to discuss the news story. So that's why it's a little bit of both. I know we usually on this show, we kind of go with some of the older, like where we left off. Mm-hmm. But I think I want to do things a little differently and go with some of the latest as of the recording of this news episode. So I'm going to start with Walt Disney World raising fountain and bottle, drink, popcorn, pretzel, and other snack item prices exponentially. Okay. Bottled sodas have gone to $4.50, up from $4, so it's really just a 50-cent increase at this moment. Fountain sodas have gone from $3.29 for a regular and $3.79 for a large to $3.99 and $4.49. The price increases have also hit water bottles, with prices rising from $3 to $3.50. Cart offerings have also been hit by the increases, and Mickey Pretzel has risen to $7, which is an increase of a full dollar from its previous price. The ice cream novelties have risen to $5.75, up from a $5, where it was just $5 in June. So that's up 75 cents at one time. Frozen bananas have risen by 50 cents, also to $5.75, matching their ice cream counterparts. Made a pretty big difference with a number of people, believe it or not.
Yeah.
The most notable increase that we see out of this, churros are currently $6.25, and that is an increase of $1.75 just since June.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That is a huge increase at one time.
And we know they haven't added like gold dust to them, so
not that I know of.
It's not that they've done anything to make them better or higher quality.
Yeah. What do you think about this one? How does it affect you all that much? I mean, it's not going to stop you, obviously, from buying some of these items because of the increases not being, you know, like breaking your pocketbook or anything. But still, people notice when things go up this much in just a couple of months.
Yeah. So I tend to not snack a whole lot when I go anyway. I mean, bottled water is kind of one that you kind of have to go get quite a bit. So that's going to be a little frustrating that it's more expensive, but, you know, it is what it is.
Ultimately, with the water, we're talking 50 cents, okay? So, but overall, you know, if you buy bottled water there pretty regular, I mean, that's going to be,
it's going to
increase the amount you're going to spend.
I mean, you kind of have to buy bottled water quite a bit in the parks anyway. We usually bring a case of water with us that we bought from a store that basically costs the same as one bottle of water at Disney. But anyway, it's typical for, like, you know, stadiums or amusement parks to gouge prices for things like this. So it's not a huge surprise. You just have to plan around it. And that's what we do. I don't buy a whole lot of these snacks typically, unless it's like a breakfast or maybe a lunch filler if we're having like a bigger dinner later, that kind of thing.
When you mentioned the bottled water, it's not like they won't allow you to bring your own in. They actually still they do, at least, you know, I don't know how much. I mean, they probably don't want you bringing in like 2 gallons or anything like that. I mean, you can bring, you know, I don't know if they have a set number. I have never really tested the limits as far as bottled water goes. But
when you have a baby, it's really easy because they don't question it at all. You need it for a formula or something like that. So
yeah, true.
It's easy. We usually bring 2 or 3 bottles in with us every time we go, so in our bags.
See, and I've not gone with a child that is in the range that, let's say, they're either on the verge of getting out of the
bottle
nursing stage, or, you know, something along those lines. That's the only experience I've had because Maddie was 8 months. Also, I mean, Livia's going to be at least 8 months by the time we end up going back. So I haven't really had that experience as far as that goes. Another thing, too, that I thought about with this is I don't think most of the guests now are really going to recognize it because of how many to go on some form of dining plan. And so it's really just their snack credit. So they're not really, I mean, they've already paid for it in most cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know that they're really going to notice how much something costs anyway, because they're using the dining plan. I mean, I think more and more people are going to the dining plan if they're going for a vacation. Now, obviously, right. If you stay locally, that's a little different. You don't buy the dining plan. But I mean, as far as people vacationing from out of state or out of town or just coming for their vacation, there probably is a large number of those doing the dining plan nowadays.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
I don't know that would be, you know, they can probably afford to do so without the, and it might even make it where things, like if you bought the dining plan before this increase on your package, I'm pretty sure they're not going to add more. So, the price you got in the package is going to stay the same, even if it increases even further. It pays to plan ahead sometimes.
That is true. It always, at Disney, it always pays to plan ahead. We should have known this was coming because, you know, they already raised the price of merchandise, you know, the mini ears, or the headband ears, and, well, right. The bubble wands and all this stuff was, what, a couple weeks ago we talked about that. And the ticket changes was last week, so it only goes to add to this that more increases in food prices or whatever going to happen. And
I don't have anything to compare it to, but this is one of the largest I can recall at one time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? On such items. So I don't think there's been any higher than this. I don't know. But, you know, it was pretty significant for an increase for a place like Disney. Yeah. But, I mean, if you have a mom and pop restaurant and they haven't raised prices in a long time, they'll probably have a big, big increase. But Disney keeps up with stuff so much closer that they're usually only raising stuff a little bit at a time. $1.75 at one time is pretty significant.
Yeah, that is a lot for something that's not that great at Disney World.
Yeah, maybe they thought they were underpricing them to start with, and they just decided, what the heck, we'll just make it up now and endure the backlash if there is any, you know. But I don't know.
But again, this is typical right now. They're doing huge budget cuts and raising prices, so I think after the ticket changes go into place, we're not going to see this, hopefully, for a while, but you never know. I guess they're having, you know, a really bad fourth quarter. Their fiscal fourth quarter must have been pretty bad for them to do all these massive changes. I wanted to mention this last week, but I don't believe we did, about the Disney Junior Live on Stage is currently down under refurbishment to convert it to the new Disney Junior Dance Party. And they've really changed the outside of the building and everything right now. And they are supposed to debut this new show sometime this year, later in the year. So let's hope.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it would take them very long.
Yeah. They're taking away and the Pirates.
They're no longer going to have puppets. If it's just like the show that I've only witnessed it on video, but if it's just like the show in California, which I think it is, it's going to have that screen that's going to go up, and they're going to utilize the larger characters, not puppets, in the show.
Okay.
They're going to use a combination of screens and human beings dressed in suits.
Right. Well, those type characters. The meet and greet type characters.
Yes.
That we know. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it was Mickey and the Roadster Racers, Doc McStuffins, and
Sophia's still there.
Sophia. What was the other? There was another one.
Lion Guard. That's one that
was the Lion Guard. Yeah. That's the one that I was trying to think
and
of.
And I think that was all of them.
Yeah, I think it's four. But I mean,
it makes sense as far as eliminating Jake, because Jake is no longer has new episodes airing.
Mm-hmm. Keep it fresh and current.
Right. So I think that was the only one they really took out. And there's no longer new episodes of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse either, even though that show is still shown quite frequently on Disney Junior, but there's a good reason for it because it still works.
And there's like a million episodes, but
yeah, especially on the toddler age kids.
Yeah, those are timeless.
Babies, it amazes me because I've seen, I mean, it worked with ours, but babies, the something about Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, it like mesmerizes them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. Even at, like I say, at a young stage, like Livy now, I could probably put her in front of it and she would still like get something out of it. I remember Maddie, like one of the few things she would be quiet for when she was in her kind of ill stage, when we were saying in the first couple to 3 months, was when the hot dog song came on.
Yep.
I mean, that's so cool. Yeah.
It works.
Yeah. So, I mean, even though they've converted basically to Mickey and the Roadster Racers being the one that they push, that show, if it's going to be the exact same show, it's not bad. I mean, especially once they get into it. It's just it starts kind of slow from what I've seen when I watched the YouTube videos of it. I'm not blaming the cast members, but the cast members that have the roles of being kind of like the hosts, I think they've been given some pretty crappy roles personally. In that one.
You mean like lines to say or just the things they have to do?
I
have not seen it actually, no.
You need to go watch it. It starts out really slow. Okay. And it's kind of like it drags out too long to get to the characters, in my opinion. I think it would have trouble keeping the attention span for a kid that's not seen it yet. I think they take a little too long to get to the meat of the show, personally.
Okay.
So, I don't know. And like I said, some of their line, it's a bit on the cheese side.
Well.
Even for a kid's show. But, you can formulate your own opinion when you watch it or if you choose to wait until this comes about.
Okay. I will report back whenever I do see it.
Yep.
Okay. But that's coming.
Didn't they used to have things like the Jake, I don't want to call it propaganda, but you know what I mean? They used to have a lot of Disney Junior signage up on that building.
Yes, yes, right? And it's taken down now. I assume they're going to put new signage up, but right now it is a lot of changes to that building outside anyway. Yeah. I'm sure inside too.
What I've seen of that show overall, it's not bad. Like I said, my only complaint is it starts kind of slow, and some of the dialogue that the human characters get is just, I don't know. I just didn't think it was. I think it could have been done a little better. I just didn't like that idea that they put in it. So,
well, is there a lot of dancing involved? If it's a dance party,
yeah. I mean, calling it a dance party, yeah. There's a lot of they do dance moves in relation with the characters, but also when those two human characters come out, it's kind of like that as well. So,
got it. Okay, be interesting. I'm ready for something new here. So I'm good with it.
Yeah, at least they have, like I said, more updated Disney Junior characters.
Yeah, that's good.
And they'll probably update it again as time goes on. Alrighty then. Interesting in this, because it's kind of new still, as far as the name, I guess, and I don't know how new the food was, but Pizza Rizzo is going to be entering seasonal operation until Galaxy's Edge opens, which I don't quite understand why it would be until.
Maybe the crowd levels are low. That's my thinking. Every time I've been over there, there's been almost nobody there.
Maybe that's what they're thinking. Yeah, it makes sense. Crowd Maybe they're thinking that the restaurant is suffering from traffic, but I don't know that that's the case. True, if there's more foot traffic coming in that direction, that there might be more people that are going to settle for Pizza Rizzo than they have to right now.
Yeah, I mean, once Galaxy's Edge opens, they're going to need it for that reason. I mean, it's too many people. You won't be able to get in anywhere else. So it'll be overflow restaurant, basically.
And I was just sitting here looking at this photo, and I haven't really been to that section of the park since this has been open, but it has Pizza Planet in the sign. Why would you do that? But why would you do
see that? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe as an homage to Pizza Planet that was there? That's really stupid, though. Because nobody was fond of that one.
Yeah. It makes sense with it being as close as it is to Muppet Vision. So it makes it things like makes me think that Buffy Vision's not going anywhere for a little while unless things take a huge turn for the worse. I have a feeling that if they do update this, it will still be Muppet themed, maybe.
Maybe.
What do you think?
I know we mentioned this on Monday's show, actually, the one I had talked about that I heard a rumor that this was going to close, and this was partially true. It is closing for, you know, everyday use. It'll only be open occasionally, probably around Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and then later next year. But
because I wonder, with them bringing back Muppet Babies on Disney Channel,
yeah,
with that show being on, if they maybe they considered incorporating the Muppet Babies to the 3D film.
It'd be interesting.
That way they don't have to change much, you know?
Right. I don't know.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I don't know how well that show's considered to be doing right now.
I don't either.
I know my daughter loves it.
Yeah.
So.
I don't see a whole lot of theming in this restaurant either to make it feel super Muppet-like. I feel like they could have done more.
Well, when I look at it, I haven't been on the inside, obviously, but when I look at it in the pictures I've seen on the inside, it does remind me a lot of that scene in one of those
early Take Manhattan movies.
Yes, I think it was that one. Whenever Rizzo and his pals were running that restaurant, pretty much.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was going to be themed after, but it doesn't completely look that way. But maybe I just need to go watch Muppets Take Manhattan again.
And they did have to work with the existing building, so
true. It would have been cool to have like a little animatronic Rizzo in there talking to guests. So I don't know. Maybe that's too much to ask.
True.
That would be cool.
All right, so let's move along, shall we?
Yes. Sebastian's Bistro at Caribbean Beach is now starting to take reservations, so it will be opening soon. It says as early as October 8th, which is just less than a week from now. A few days, actually, from now. So that is at Caribbean Beach Resort, which is been undergoing a massive refurb for the last, like, seems like forever, but I think it's been at least like 2 years probably. This is kind of the main restaurant in the main area, you know, hopefully a popular restaurant and a good one. So we'll see. Of course, it's out after Sebastian from The Little Mermaid.
I like it from what I see of the artist work and everything like that, and I kind of like the idea of the having some partial, at least, outdoor parts to it.
Mm-hmm.
I like the look. It looks a little more, something needed to be done over at Caribbean Beach to make it a little more modern, or a little, really, to make it a little more Caribbean in some places. But this does good job of sticking with the Caribbean theme. If you've ever been to any of the Caribbean islands, they have places that look like this. It's a good job of doing that and keeping it a little bit more fresh. I would want to eat here.
I'm excited about something new. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess my vote to go there as soon as possible.
I actually want to stay here now that things are starting to open here. I really would like to stay here soon.
Yeah. I mean, I know I currently have a place booked with Pop Century, but, you know, as time goes on, I may have to look and see about maybe updating it to go, because Caribbean Beach is on the Skyliner as well.
Right, so right.
It might be a good option.
Yeah, both of those.
I get a little bit torn between, you know, what's my going to be fun for the kids, you know, type thing as well. But Caribbean Beach might be a very good, viable option. And I haven't been there in years as far as staying there.
Well, my brother and his kids really enjoyed the pool there. They still talk about it to this day. The
pirate pool. Which from I've seen looks basically the same.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think they really touched it, but, you know, they really enjoyed it. It left an impression on them. They were talking about it the other day.
All right. Stitch's Great Escape at Magic Kingdom will not return, and the attraction is already dismantled.
Oh, my God.
This is from sources within the company. That's all we'll say. multiple yes. sources from within the company.
We snuck in the other night during their Halloween party.
We snuck around and took a peek really. In there.
Just kidding.
Yes, exactly. Just in case Disney listens.
Right. We would never do that. Don't ban us.
But the sources say that the attraction itself has already been partially dismantled and it's not going to reopen.
Mm-hmm.
So they indicate that the audio animatronic characters from the second pre-show room have already been removed and they put torn to pieces. And
it's very specific. Like, how do they know that? But it must be a cast member that actually saw it or did it.
You would think. I don't see why that would be the case. I mean, you would think they could use some of this stuff in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know in comparison to now, but I remember the robot that I don't know what he was called in Stitch, but he was called Sir, an Alien Encounter, S-I-R, which stood for Simulated Intelligence Robotics.
Mm-hmm.
And my best Tim Curry voice. Right. It probably wasn't my best Tim Curry voice either. But anyway, you know, being destroyed, I would think they could repurpose and use that in some way, shape, or form. I was always impressed, especially in the late 90s, with that robot.
Yes.
How fluid and...
It was.
That pre-show for Alien Encounter was cool, I thought.
It was.
I actually missed that one.
It was a very, very good show. And... I mean, at the very least, someone would buy that at an auction somewhere. So why dismantle something that a lot of people probably have some sort of nostalgia for? Or just because it was such a rare, like, beloved attraction that someone would buy that at an auction. I don't know why they would just tear it up.
And yeah, you got a good point. If they were just going to do that, why...
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they have it sold?
If they're so scrapped for cash right now, why wouldn't they try to get a couple of grand out of this thing?
Why not try and sell off a few pieces of, I don't know, park history, as we'll say, instead of, I don't know, raising food prices?
Right. Let me pay $3 for a bottle of water instead of $3.50, and you sell this instead.
I'm sure you can make up more than the 50 cents.
Yeah.
Of course, the rumors still flying or circulating surrounding this, which we've talked about before, involve a Wreck-It Ralph attraction. Some claim it's already in development for this space. I don't know. I'll have to wait until I see a little more solid evidence on that one. But
yeah,
this is not going to affect me greatly in any way, shape, or form. My personal feelings are that they could put just about anything in this space, and it'd be better than Stitch's Great Escape. My opinion is actually shared by a good many Disney Parks fans.
Right.
So,
yeah, I hope they do something innovative here. I really want to see something more than just kind of a slapped-on thing that has a lot of the same elements, but they just change the characters. I want to see something brand new. I hope they do that.
There we go. All right. Let's move along.
Here's a small story that I wanted to mention a few weeks ago, too, which is the Earl of Sandwich out in Disneyland, downtown Disney, has reopened because Disney's hotel plans are completely on hold or maybe canceled. They were going to build a brand new hotel that was deluxe, state-of-the-art, awesome, brand new, but then the city of Anaheim did their weird tax thing that we talked about this a few weeks ago, if you want to go back to listen to more of that. But as a result, Disney had closed a lot of things in downtown Disney, including Earl of Sandwich, ESPN Club, and all our Zone, whatever it was, and a bunch of other stuff. But now, Earl of Sandwich is back open again because they can't use that space for something else, so might as well reopen Earl of Sandwich.
Yeah, and Earl of Sandwich is... You know, let's face it, it's one of the more popular restaurants that they've had at downtown Disney. Always had a good customer base. You know, it's funny, I was like, how far is Disney willing to go in these, like, feuds, I guess? I don't know if we'll call it a feud. Disagreements with Anaheim. Yeah. I mean, like, do you think they could eventually be like, you know, we threatened to move Disneyland or something or somehow?
I have no idea, but you wonder.
I mean, you know, I was like, could they conceivably do that even? So
probably not, but
I don't know.
They
probably wouldn't believe them until they started seeing pieces of it get moved out somewhere else. I don't know.
Yeah, it was probably about a year ago. I'm pretty sure we talked about this on the show late last year, but, you know, the big parking crosswalk and this thing that they were going to build that all the restaurants and things on Harbor Boulevard raised Kane about, because it would basically bypass, you know, having to walk by their businesses. And Disney is forced to build another ginormous parking structure next to the Mickey and Friends parking structure, which they are currently building at breakneck speed because they have to get this open before Galaxy's Edge. Every person on the planet is going to descend on Anaheim in July of next year, whenever it officially opens. So they have to have some more parking in place quickly. They're having to do a lot of things because Anaheim or the businesses have a lot more power than they used to, apparently. It seemed like Disney could just do whatever they wanted to out there, Disneyland, but now they're meeting a lot more resistance for whatever reason.
I think that perhaps if Walt had the money back when he first opened Disneyland, he would have bought a lot more of area. Oh,
that's for sure. I mean, but see, if he did, then we wouldn't have had Disney World, probably, or maybe we would, but maybe it wouldn't be as much land as they did buy in Florida.
I think they would still have the Florida project because there was more land available. I'm just saying he didn't have near the land available in Anaheim, even if he had bought more of it.
Maybe
that he had in Florida.
When you look at the aerial photos of 1955, it was like nothing out there. So maybe.
Yeah. Still, though, again, as far as conceivably purchasing and using, he maybe could have done more, but not as much as.
Probably not, no. And not as cheaply, of course, as you could do it in Florida.
Yeah. And Florida was swampland at this point. So, or at least that section of it.
Yep.
It's basically swampland. All right, that kind of went
way longer than
a weird direction.
But
all right. So the new southbound World Drive Magic Kingdom flyover ramp will be opening. Let's see, that will be the 16th of October, which will be
soon
next week, but the following.
Basically, like 2 weeks.
Should be interesting to see. I mean, don't they already use a portion of it, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, northbound is already open, and this is going to be really nice if you're taking a bus from Magic Kingdom to, like, the Epcot Resorts or Coronado or the Value Resorts, because now you don't have to go all the way by Polynesian and then turn left and go all the way around the parking lot for Magic Kingdom. To get back on World Drive,
right. You
just go straight from Magic Kingdom all the way down World Drive southbound. So,
right.
It's going to be nice.
I haven't seen any video or anything recently. I haven't gone and looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be interested to see how much progress they've made and where they're at right now with it being on the verge of opening.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of a little tidbit one.
Yes.
What should we move on to next?
Well, the next one is update to the story we talked about last week, which was Rafiki's Planet Watch closing out of the middle of nowhere, and turns out that it's going to reopen sometime next year, in about, 6 months or so from now. It will reopen next year with what?
Hmm.
I don't know, but it says Rafiki's Planet Watch will reopen spring 2019, so it did close abruptly, which it's still open currently, but it will close in the next 2 weeks. And it says that it will reopen, but we don't really know what things will have changed, but it will reopen as Rafiki's Planet Watch. So
it's not going anywhere.
It's just under a refurb, I guess, of some sort.
Well, that's what we thought about Stitch too now, didn't we?
Yeah, so who knows? It'll be like Rafiki's Planet Watch is on seasonal schedule. And then
that'll be it'll next. Just
slowly die.
So this is kind of like a to be continued still.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
But it is not closing for good. It's just
not for good
for 6 months. Okay.
So here's another one that's kind of like a little, I guess, an FYI for you. Jake from Jake and the Neverland Pirates meet and greet at Hollywood Studios will be ending October the 7th, which will be 3 days from the time of this release.
Yeah.
So if you have any desire to see Jake from Jake and the Neverland Pirates at his meet and greet, you will no longer be able to do so after October the 7th. So if you want to see him, go see him at some time in the next 3 days to meet Jake. As we just mentioned before, his show has not been on the air for almost 3 years now, I think.
Yep.
Since they've had new episodes from Jake and the Neverland Pirates, so it stands to reason that he would be going away. So.
And he's already gone, I think, at the Disney Junior Breakfast, right? I believe. And so.
No, not at the breakfast. He's the only person that's been replaced was Handy Manny.
Okay. I feel like that's coming then.
Yeah, I have not seen anything else as far. The last one I saw replaced was Handy Manny was replaced with Goofy Roadster Racer.
Mm-hmm.
The other three were still Jake, Sophia, and Doc. Right. So,
okay.
I don't know. I have not seen him replaced there yet. So, good point. Because this was the courtyard greets that I'm referring to. But of course, his removal is to make room for Vampirina, which would make sense. Her debuting in October, I would think, just kind of goes along.
Yeah.
I don't see where they've changed him at the Disney Junior Breakfast, though. He's just not having his meet and greet that he had.
Yeah.
So far.
It's understandable. Phase him out. He's getting old, especially for kids.
So I guess that was short, so let's kick it back to you once again.
Yes. Well, the one that was the most fascinating to me that I don't believe we talked about this last week. Have you seen Solo yet? Did you watch it?
I have not. And I know it's available now, but I have not yet taken the opportunity to watch it.
Yeah. Well, apparently if you buy the Blu-ray at Target, there's an exclusive 13-minute bonus feature that gives some insight into what Star Wars Galaxy's Edge Millennium Falcon attraction is going to entail. And I was actually really kind of disappointed by one of these facts, because to me, I think this means the line is going to be like 8 hours long for this attraction, and I'm not really joking when I say that. Because it says the ride will be able to accommodate 42 guests at a time in 7 pods that seat 6 guests each. Which we knew that each pod that is like the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon can seat 6 guests. I knew that, but there's only 7 of them. That's it. And we're going to have 42 guests at a time do, let's say, a 5-minute attraction. So that means
over the course of an hour, let's just say, if it's a 5-minute attraction, they're going to be able to do that 12 times in an hour.
Yeah.
So you said 42 guests.
500 guests an hour.
Yeah.
That's horrible output. Pirates has like 3,000 guests per hour. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is like 1,500 or 1,200, something like that, guests an hour. So if this is the case, it's going to be like an insanely long line for this attraction. If there's only 7 pods, that scares me.
Yeah, so. I could see that. There's probably going to be some sort of a pre-show, of course, though, the way they're going to work these things out.
Oh, I'm sure they'll do that, but it's still going to be an 8-hour wait. But here's the other thing that is interesting to me is, so if you have a party of 4, does that mean they're going to stick to single riders with you, or a party of 2 or whatever? Are you going to be, you know, if you don't have but 2 or 3 people, are they going to let you have your own pod by yourself, or are they going to stick other people in there with you? So it's our group and Chad over here in the corner who's doing the gunner, and he's going to cost me my clean record with the bounty hunters. Now bounty hunters are after me because of Chad over there. Like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, how are they going to do this?
Well, I don't know what you have against Chad. But I could see them probably introducing a single rider option to this one. There's so few of them that have it right now, but one of the reasons... I'm always confused as to why they do a single rider. It's some places and not others, I guess. With the exception of trying to figure out how to work the line, Space Mountain would be conducive for single rider. I mean, there's only three people per car. That's going to become uneven at some point in there based on your party, you know?
Right.
So, you know, they could fill gaps there. I get it with Rock and Roller Coaster and with Everest, because there are roller coasters. They're 2x2. You can fill in the gaps there usually pretty easily. And yeah. Test Track, because it does seat 5, you can also fill in the gaps relatively easily. I don't see where that's any different with a 6-seater, though. I mean, they should,
yeah,
that should be conducive to having a single rider.
I guess my point is, though, if it's story-driven and you have 6 people in the cockpit, it's like, you're each supposed to have a role, kind of like Mission Space, but it says every button in the cockpit does something, so you can just go around hitting buttons. But I guess my point is, someone could kind of sabotage your part of, if you're the one driving, you know, in the driver's seat, so to speak, somebody else could, like, sabotage your... Is, you know what I'm saying? Like, someone's got to be flying the thing.
I mean, so what? You're going to be more likely to forgive a family member than you are a complete stranger? I mean...
Not necessarily. I don't know. I just think it's weird.
I'm just curious.
But apparently says the story of the attraction is you are sent on a mission by Hondo Anaka, which is a character from the Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels, okay, which I don't never really watched. But it says to bring back some loot, whatever that means. It says you're truly in control of the Millennium Falcon. It says some 200 buttons and knobs and switches in the Falcon, and all of them do something, it says. And it says you have gunners who are the center 2 seats. So apparently they just combined the, you know, the gunning positions from the movies into the cockpit, which is fine. I think that's cool. And then there's like an engineer, kind of, it's very similar to Mission Space in that way. It says the engineers are in the back, and of course the co-pilot and pilot are in the front. So I'm a little nervous about this attraction now. I think it's going to be awesome, but it's like, if you're stuck with Chad,
am I ever going to be able to ride it?
Yeah, like who, how, like if you're stuck with, if you're 2 groups of 3 and you get stuck in here, how do you determine who's going to fly it and who gets stuck being the crappy engineer in the back, you know? To me, this is like, if you have your grandparents with you, they get to sit in the back and they don't really have to do anything. But if you're flying the dang ship, that's what you want to do. Everyone's going to want to do that, right?
Maybe.
I mean, who doesn't want to sit in the front?
I don't know. It depends on how that ends up working. Me personally... Say, I'm going to give an example here as far as having different jobs and positions. The Battle for Buccaneer Gold game that was at Disney Quest.
Yeah.
Being the captain of the ship was really not that exciting, I didn't think. I think being the gunner was cooler in a lot of ways. Depending on how many people you had in there, you could actually be the captain and a gunner, though, if you wanted to. But they had to have at least one person be the captain that steered it, so...
But it says, of course, the mission I mentioned was you're going to get loot for Hondo. It says that if you bring back the loot and there's not a scratch on the Falcon, which obviously means if you run into something or if you get shot or something, he will not be happy if you... Or he'll be happy, obviously, if you don't have any scratches on the Falcon. And it says you might find yourself with some extra galactic credits, whatever that means. But if you do a poor job, you'll lose the cargo and smash up the ship. You might also come back owing more money than you started with, and he may not be too happy. When you roll across the local cantina, the bartender might lean over and say, "Hey, word on the street is your name's been put on the list for a local bounty hunter." I'd watch out if I were you. So,
when all is said and done, do you end up frozen in carbonite?
Maybe, I guess, if you do a bad enough job. Yeah, I don't really understand what happens after that. Like, what is... Are you going to have to, like, fight off bounty hunters? Like... I don't get it.
I love the name. It's like the love child of Han Solo and Lando Calrissian.
Yeah, Hondo. Maybe that's why they chose that character.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, that was not an obvious mishmash of names at all.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah. Anyway, so it'll be cool, though. Apparently you get to load into the Millennium Falcon like a full-size Millennium Falcon, and then that's where you load into your pod. So it'll be really awesome. It's just, I'm not kidding when I say it's probably going to be an 8-hour wait. Like, I don't know how they're going to get, if 500 an hour is all they can put through this attraction, then no one's going to get to do this. Anyway.
I got you.
They're going to have to build a second Millennium Falcon.
So moving along. I think we're getting down to the nitty-gritty and maybe wrapping this particular news episode up very shortly. I kind of wanted to talk just a little bit about the All-Star Resorts and the new remodeled rooms they have, particularly at All-Star Movies right now.
Okay.
I'm considering going for one of these or trying to get one of these maybe this spring, because we might take a trip sooner than originally thought. Might be a shorter one, or might be a try not to spend as much money as normal type trip. So I was intrigued by All-Star Movies, and one of the things that would be perfect is my daughter loves Toy Story, and the Toy Story section is the one that I know to have these rooms completed now in the new style. And for Value Resorts, it's pretty impressive with how they've overdone it. They now have a little coffee station in there, fully stocked with Joffrey's coffee pods.
That's big.
And Twinings, Earl Grey and decaf green tea as well. It has a little mini fridge, a clear glass door in it, so you can see the contents without having to open it, I guess. They have the headboards that are of the classic characters, but they're the new Mickey Mouse short style.
Which I like those, by the way. I have mentioned that now. I'm not a fan of the animation itself, like the style, but I love the cartoons. They're really good.
Yeah. So they have those kind of over the bed with the lights on the other side of the portraits, pretty much on
down there. Looks great. It looks really good.
With them also being refurbished, they have larger beds now, of course. So this is all very similar to what they've already done with Pop Century as well, as far as the bathroom layouts go. The shower heads have been changed. Of course, they have the H2O dispensers, which I don't know how people feel about that, but I personally don't care whether it's bottles or dispensers. It matters not to me.
What's to stop people from bringing their own, like...
Bottle,
and just, like, filling the whole thing up?
Fill it up, yeah. If they wanted to do that before they left, I guess they could. While you're there, it doesn't make any sense, because Disney's probably got this down to an exact science where how much they can put in the bottle versus people asking for them like every night.
Right.
They probably figured out a way that this is going to save them money on that.
Yeah.
So it just appears, you know, it's an illusion, I guess.
Probably.
But the pull down Murphy bed in this features Huey, Dewey, and Louie having their own little dream bubbles. And of course, the beds have the underneath the bed space.
Yeah.
Which, and if you don't have the Murphy bed down, then that's also a table. So.
Yeah. That's a great redesign. And I love the fold-up bed. You get plenty of space that way when you're not using it. So for families, it gives you much more room for having a smaller size room. It's awesome.
And the non-carpet floors in these refurbishments are big deal, I think.
Yeah.
I personally like the rooms being non-carpet that I've been in so far.
I do too. It feels cleaner, I think. Easier to keep clean, for one. And it's Florida, so you don't care if the floor's a little cooler when you step on it.
Just for reference, they have gone a pretty good ways with this refurbishment. Toy Story was one of the first ones complete, so mm-hmm. that section is done.
Okay.
Fantasia is pretty much done now, and some standard Love Bug rooms are finished already as well. So in the very near future, it's likely that the whole resort is going to be converted over to these types of rooms. I got a feeling before the major part of 2019 comes into, they probably will be completed. It might be worth giving a look or a check on, because it is a much needed improvement. I mean, even though the All-Star Resorts were the lower end, they could use some of these upgrades and overhauls, and I'm glad to see that they've taken that opportunity to do it. So
yeah, they look great. They yep. look fantastic. So,
and they might, like I said, they might even make it more appealing to some who may not have opted for such a room before by making it a little better. I mean, they can only do so much about the size. The size is still going to be a little bit smaller, but you know, there are cheaper rooms, so therefore,
yeah,
you know, they're going to be. Goes so with it, yeah. There you go.
Cool.
So, do we have anything else, or does that?
That's all I have.
Pretty much wrap it up, you think?
Yeah.
So, as always, you can reach us on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store where you can buy exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast.
And you can visit us on the web, travelingwiththemouse.com. We also have an email address, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. We also have a Patreon page if you want to help support the show that way, patreon.com/TWTM podcast.
All right, so for Adam Brown, I am John Martin. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.